six. And let's look at devices. Let me back up before I talk about devices. I've learned so much about how and why and what by actually dialoguing with the disembodied spirit. And a lot of it's helped me tremendously to know how to navigate it, et cetera, right? So often, sometimes the person that I'm facilitating doesn't want to know anything. They're just like, get it out of me right now. So then I used to do that, okay, fine, and I'd ask the angels to come and forcibly remove. But then when the Lord showed me that Native American chief, it completely turned my heart, and he treated that chief as if he was human. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to follow the lamb. And I've seen him do that numerous times, not just once, numerous times. So I've learned to follow him and follow his lead, but often I'll have that person, if they're open, ask the disembodied spirit, why did you come in to me? Why are you here? And that's very revealing, and that helps you know how to navigate and what you're actually dealing with, and helps you help explain to them how, it's not good for me, it's not good for you to be here in me, like I do with my sister. So, but if that disembodied spirit becomes aggressive, antagonistic, by action or language, or I've seen, I had a young girl here. Again, this is another reason I believe this stuff's real, because so many of the people I facilitate never heard of this, right? And so this girl from Alabama came, and young girl, and I'm facilitating her, and the Lord shows her the womb, when she was in the womb, and she knew, her mother had told her that she had had a twin, but the twin died in the womb. So she sees this picture in her God encounter. She's trying to figure out why her life, she was getting ready to go to college, and why her life is such a wreck. And this is what the Lord shows her when she asked the Lord, why is my life so chaotic right now? She said, I just want to starve myself. I want to kill myself. I don't know. I don't get it. She said, and I'm at the best place I've ever been in my life. So why is this happening? Well, she sees the Lord, why? And she sees this picture in the womb. She sees herself. She sees the twin. And she tells me the picture. And I said, well, you want to ask the Lord, what does this mean? And so she asks the Lord. And the Lord tells her that her twin was inside of her. And she's like, what? Wow. What? And just as soon as she said that, all of a sudden she hears a voice, and she can feel rage and hatred rise up, like big time. And then she asks, what is this? And she can hear in her head a voice telling her how much she hates her because you got to live and I died. And now you're getting ready to go to college and have this life, and I'm stuck in you. And I hate you, I'm gonna kill you. And she says that to her, and just then, this girl goes like this, and her eyes get huge. She's choking me, and her face turns color in front of me. And I just, right away, I go, okay, Yahweh, would you send these angels to forcibly remove her she was gonna kill her. I didn't have a choice, right? Her face started turning bluish. Her lips, it was, and she was tears. She was just, and it was bad. So the Lord sent the angels and removed her. She came out screaming. She was just so full of hatred. And the next day, she was staying here for a couple of weeks. She came to me, and literally she had bruised finger marks on her neck.
Oh.
Where it manifested on her physical body. But she was, it took her a couple of days for everything to calm down. And then she went on to not only go to college, but got her doctorate.
Wow.
And never had a problem again with eating disorder or self-hatred or anything. It was all from her twin. So, again, I've learned a lot from what I've experienced with other people, and especially because they don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing if you've heard of it or whatever, but when somebody doesn't have a clue, never heard of this, like me, you know, you tend to go, okay. All right, let's look at devices now. A device is a spiritual mechanism put in place by the enemy. Some devices are passed down through your bloodline. Devices aren't alive, so they can't respond to you. Now, sometimes disembodied spirits will refuse to answer you, right? Devices can't be commanded to leave. They have to be destroyed. Some examples of devices are inner vows, bitterness, sin, unforgiveness, hatred, prejudice, anger, etc. These are the soil in which devices are planted. Strongholds and a mantle of invisibility or having to be the center of attention are a few examples of devices. How do you deal with them? So once it's determined the obstacle or the blockage isn't a human spirit, but it's a device, then ask the Lord who made the vow, the wish, the plan, or the decision, that the sin that allowed the device to be put in place by the enemy. Because for a device to be put in you, you have to have opened the door. And Satan doesn't mind at all. He doesn't miss an opportunity to do his stuff. So for an example, when you hit a blockage, you're in a God encounter, and all of a sudden you're stuck. You hit a wall. You hit I don't know what to do. I can't go left, right, or forward. I'm just stuck. You ask, is this a demon, a disembodied spirit, or a device? And you can get all kinds of different responses. Often it's so funny to me. Demons are so dumb. He'll ask that question and a demon will answer and say, oh, it's the device. Well, devices can't talk. So you've got a clue right there. All right, it's either a demon or an unclean, a disembodied spirit. I'm trying to change my language to disembodied spirit because of the unclean spirit in the New Testament. So when I slip up, know what I'm trying to say. So anyway, as a facilitator, you help the person just determine through asking questions what you're dealing with. It's important that you know what you're dealing with. Because here's the thing with a disembodied spirit. If you determine that this is a demon, and you cast it out, that disembodied spirit, and it was really a disembodied spirit, many, many, many times, that thing will just step in the background far away. So it feels, the person feels, oh, it left.
Mm.
It was a demon. No, it wasn't. It was a disembodied spirit that's playing a trick, that's stepped away so that you feel like it left, but it's still inside of you. That's one reason why it's so important that you decide you determine with the Lord's help, am I dealing with a demon or a disembodied spirit or both? You can have a disembodied spirit that has a demon attached to it, and that you cast the demon will present itself, because remember, a disembodied spirit's only hope, if it knows that you know what you're doing, is to pretend like it's not there. It'll hide. It'll go. It'll hide behind a demon. If it has a demon, it'll force that demon up front, and it'll get behind it. And then you cast a demon out, you feel the person feels better, and you think you've gotten it all. I always ask the Lord, would you take your light, shine your light in me, and see if there's any unclean thing in me? I still ask, because you can pick up hitchhikers. So, and when he shines his light in us to see if there's any unclean thing in us, if you feel something glitch, hiccup, burp, twitch, shiver, you know, or you see something fly by you, don't ignore it, because these things will try to go into hiding. It's kind of like a mouse in your closet. I had a mouse in my closet this week. Oh, I never had one ever in my house.
Really?
Not yet. Never. Oh. And I was barefoot. I got to share. Y'all are tuning to me, so I'm going to share. So I'm in there barefoot trying to pick out what I'm going to wear. And right across them, it goes, choom. And I saw it. And it was fat like it's pregnant. It was healthy. And I'm thinking, there's nothing in here for you to eat. What are you eating? You're fat. You're pregnant. And I was afraid to yell. I was afraid to jump. I was afraid to do anything because the doors were shut in my closet. I have a door here and a door here. And I'm stuck. And it was there. And I'm bare. And it's going to run over my feet. And I mean, it was a crisis. If I had screamed, it would probably freak out and run up my leg or something. It was bad. So I just don't like them at all. So I just froze. I just fight, fright, or freeze. I freeze. And I'm just, oh, Yeshua. Where'd it go? And I saw where it went there, but that doesn't mean anything because it could be coming up behind me. And I mean, it was bad. So I just stood there for 5 minutes, probably.
5 minutes?
Praying. Oh, yeah. No. If I moved, it was scary. He was as scared as I was.
She was.
She was as scared. She might have had her babies because I was scared so bad. So I finally got brave enough. Come out. So I was closer to this door. Besides, she was there, so I wasn't going to that door. So I backed out, got out of my closet, went into the laundry room, and ran. Didn't I, honey?
What?
I had to let it out because I didn't hold it. So it was amazing, and went and got 6 traps.
Wow.
He's catching that sucker.
So I said to him that night, I said, how am I going to pick out my clothes for tomorrow? I can't go back in there. But he hadn't caught him yet. We still haven't caught her. She's found her little nest and probably in her baby. Anyway, it's a thing. Never in that house.
Never in this house.
That you see.
You sure it's that? No! Don't say that! No!
Where there's one, there.
Oh my God! Oh,
so many mice in my life.
Look at
your ears. Why in the world did I tell that story? Here's why. I just got an analogy. These disembodied spirits are much like mice. They hide inside of you and they run when you shine the light. And you gotta get them. You gotta get them out. You gotta get them out. This is not good to have them there. So I will keep you updated on the mouse situation.
I thought this was a past story. This is current.
No, it happened 2 days ago. Yeah. Right, seriously. Right. So, you know, and then I got the idea, this morning when I got out of bed. Ooh, what if it left the closet and it's in my bedroom now? I mean, this is going on in my head. Yeah, I don't know why mice are so. Yes.
I got to bring a bit of levity into the situation. So I had mice before, and I laid out mouse traps, and I laid out two, and I got up in the morning, and I had two mice in one, and one in one, and I heard the Lord say, three blind mice. True story.
Oh, please, Lord.
Two in one.
Three. Well, we got six traps, so we'll find out.
You will.
Yes. He taken care of me.
Yeah.
You know, this is not good. So, and
six pieces of silver bait, so.
They love peanut butter. That works
yeah,
really
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I had a mush in my house 2 weeks ago. A week and a half ago. It's a dead mouse killed by my cat.
Oh, good for you.
My cat. So, be a cat.
Anyway, so now from here on out, I will associate a mouse with disembodied spirits. You got to get them out of the hiding in the closet. It's in you because they do hide, and they don't want to be seen. So you can ask some questions as a facilitator to determine what you're dealing with, and ask the Lord, expose, help Lord. What do you want me to know about this? Have the person ask all the questions. For an example, if let's say you have a device, it's not a disembodied spirit, it's not a demon, but it's an object. And let's say the device is a mantle of invisibility. That's where somebody doesn't want to be seen, heard, they hide, they stay in the back, they don't talk to me, don't you dare put any attention onto me kind of thing, right? So if you have that device, there's some place in your life where a wound happened, a trauma happened that made you say, it's not safe for people to notice me or see me, right? Mm-hmm. And so you ask that, and that person may have no memory of it. You can ask, as a facilitator, you can ask, was your childhood safe? Did you feel powerless? Did you feel unseen? Etc. And if they say yes, because they may not have any memory of actually saying, of making a vow, I'm never going to allow myself to be seen again or noticed again. They may not know. So you can ask, did you, as a child, just disappear inside yourself so that people wouldn't notice you? Those are some questions you can ask. If the answer is yes, then you can explain to that person how Satan helps them because they open the door and he puts a mantle over them that causes them to be invisible. And then even when they want to be seen, they can't be seen.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then you have to destroy these devices. They have to be, I picture it in my mind like it's a, what do they call those? Mine, where the minefield, mm-hmm. where they bury underground and bombs, and somebody steps on it.
Landmine.
Yeah. That's how I see a device in the spirit. It's things that Satan's planted in your life because of trauma or pain or sin, mm-hmm. and you open the door, so he plants them there, and they get set off by certain things. So they have to be blown up. As long as they remain there, they're effective. But we ask the Lord to come in and with the blood of Yeshua, and we apply the blood as a priest, sometimes he'll do it, and blow that thing up so that it no longer can affect that person. So person that has these devices often. I love this picture. It's such an image of the powerlessness that comes when you have devices in your life that just steal your joy, steal your peace, steal your excitement for life. Can you imagine sitting in that boat, looking at that, how empty and depressing and powerless, etc., that would be? So that's why we want to deal with all devices. Sometimes you will find a disembodied spirit guarding other disembodied spirits. You can have more than one. It's kind of common, actually. And you can see them. They may have demon guards with them as well. And sometimes the predominant disembodied spirit will do the talking for the group and will even hide them so that you don't even know they're there. They will, remember, disembodied spirits love to be hidden. They'll let you believe they're a demon all day long. They'll let you believe they're a device. They'll act like one, won't talk, won't move, right? When you shine a light like they're a robot or something. Because if they're seen and exposed and you know what you're doing, they know they're done for. There's no hope. They know they're trespassing. They know they've hijacked that person's body. The girl that had the anorexia I shared about, the first God encounter I did with her, she saw herself in an airplane, a big 747, whatever, airplane. And she was sitting in the front seat chair, and she looked behind her, and the plane was full of other people. And so she just asked the Lord, who are all these people? Because she knew the airplane represented her. And he just told her, he said, you know, we'll talk about that later, but there are people that have hijacked you.
Wow.
So, and that is what happened as the main anorexic, the billboard from France girl, I've forgotten her name.
Anne
from France. You can Google it. You can see her. The picture is horrific on the billboard. Once she was dealt with, then in the others began to be exposed. They were hiding behind her. She was the most powerful. And she actually apologized before she left to her for trying to kill her. And when she accepted Yeshua's salvation, she asked the Lord to forgive her for the people, the other girls she killed through anorexia as well. So don't just assume that you're dealing with one. I will ask the Lord, after the one is leave, shine your light, see if there's any. I'll just keep asking that until he says. Sometimes he'll say, that's enough for today. Sometimes he'll say, no, it's clean, the house is clean, you're good, or, you know. Yeah. But just ask him. And it might not be time to deal with the others, if there are others there. When a disembodied spirit won't dialogue with you, I will, as a facilitator, encourage the person to talk to that disembodied spirit and tell that spirit that I know you're here now, and you are going to have to leave today. You can go either by force or voluntary, and I encourage you to go voluntarily. And Mark 6:7 says, then Yeshua called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. So we know we have authority over them. But let me say this, just like I have authority over Danny and I together, over this farm, because it was given to us. But that doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want to do. That means we do what he tells us to do. So you've been given authority over them, possibly. I'm not going to say that everybody in this room, like somebody, those of you that are new to this, I wouldn't put you in a position to minister to me if I know I've got to deal with a disembodied spirit. Yeah. Because you got to walk in authority, and you haven't walked in it yet. Like you wouldn't give a 2-year-old the responsibility to drive a car, right? So even though that is there for them, he didn't release that to the crowd, the multitude that followed him. He released that authority to the 12. So let's stay in our place of authority. Because if you get outside of that, you don't know what you're doing. And you can cause problems. So, let's say a disembodied spirit shows up, it's acknowledged, and the spirit's talking and communicating, but then all of a sudden it goes silent. Sometimes it could be because a demon's attached to that and shuts them up. So you as the facilitator can ask the Lord to shine his light. Boy, I use that so much. Shine your light and see if there's a demon. Lord, would you show us if there's a demon that we're dealing with? And if there is, then myself or the person can take authority over that demon. We can't cast it out if it's attached to the disembodied spirit. Because remember, that disembodied spirit gave permission for that demon to be part of his or her life. And that person has to be the one to kick it out. So the person sitting in the chair, if that demon belongs to them, then yeah, that person can cast it out. But if that demon belongs to the disembodied spirit, you can take authority over it, command it to step aside and bow its knee to Yeshua, but you can't cast it out. That's an authority issue. Because if I have a demon that I've opened the door to and it is attached to me, and people say, oh, Christians can't have demons. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, try that one. But yeah, so you can, I open that door, so I'm the only one that can kick it out and close the door. Unless I give you, if I give Tammy, I say, hey, Tammy, I need help. I recognize I got a spirit of fear working on me here. And I say, would you come and help me? And now I've given her authority to deal with that spirit of fear that I let in. That's legal. But if I don't do that and Tammy comes and I have a disembodied spirit that has a spirit of fear living inside of me, she can pray that for me, because I said, but the person, the disembodied spirit didn't give her authority. That spirit of fear belongs to that disembodied spirit. And that disembodied spirit has to give permission. And sometimes it will. You know, when we get, especially if you've got a disembodied spirit that has a very aggressive demon, that disembodied spirit may say something like, I don't know why that thing's here. I don't like it. I don't want it. Da, da, da. Oh, great. Would you like me to take care of this and explain? Then you just got to get the authority. Demons are legalists, and they will jump on you if you don't do this according to authority. It's all about authority. Do you have the authority? Stop and ask yourself, do I have the authority to do this? And if you don't do it. And you can ask Yeshua if you'll know. Yes, Betty.
So you, if you're like, oh my God, look, I have so many spirits, I don't even know the name of them, will you help me? Can I give the authority to someone to like I give it, but you say the spirit needs me. How is that gonna happen?
Well, if you have demons and you give the authority 100% yes, that facilitator can just command those demons to leave, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have a human spirit that's not your spirit, let's say Bob passed away and Bob somehow comes inside your body, and we're going to look at how that happens. Okay. He comes and moves inside, his spirit moves inside of you and brings 10 others with it, and they're all inside of you. Yeah, right. Red X, blood Yeshua. But let's just say that happens. And then because they're humans, you, me, I don't have the right or the authority to command another human. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we aren't given.
But they're inside of you.
To go. Right. So that's why we say, we tell them, you know what? You're trespassing. This is my body. I have authority over my body, and you're not welcome here. And we say, so you're going to leave. You can leave voluntarily, or I'm going to ask for angels to come and forcibly remove you. Which would you like to choose? And I first want to preach the gospel. I try to do that every time. Unless they're, if they get aggressive towards that host, that person, I don't waste any time. So remember the story Yeshua shared of the little boy that would be thrown into the fire? And that was an unclean spirit causing him damage. So you, if you become aware that there are disembodied spirits living inside of you, you can tell them, you know what? This is my body. You're trespassing. You're a hijacker. I don't want you here. So you're going to leave one way or the other. You can do that. And if they choose not to leave, you can ask Yahweh to send angels to remove them.
What if you don't know if there's any spirits that probably are, say, come here, take them out.
Yeah, they hide. Most people aren't aware. They really do hide. That's why we get in the Lord's presence. First thing, you get in the Lord's presence and you ask him, would you shine your light in me and see if there's any unclean thing in me? King David did it. That's where that prayer comes from. Is there any unclean thing in me? Device, demon, or disembodied spirit? And you wait and you let him expose him. Now, again, I don't encourage you to try to do this by yourself.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a GE today. Guess what you get to do? You can ask him to shine his light and see if there's any unclean thing, device, person, or demon inside of you. And you'll have help because your facilitators will know what to do with the Lord's help.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, very good. Let's talk about, let's drop down now the Antichrist spirit because we don't have much time left here. People customarily think of the Antichrist spirit as being related to serious occult activity in the family line. That's true, but it's more than that. If you've been under a religious authority figure, or a husband, or a wife, or a teacher, or a boss who tried to take the place of Christ as your head, you might possibly have been under the Antichrist spirit, even though you were passionately seeking Yahweh's best and not the occult. And 1 John 2:18 says, little children, these are the end times. And as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. By this we know that it is the final hour. So there is the Antichrist, the man who will be possessed by Satan himself. That's the Antichrist. But there are many Antichrists, and there will be even many more, I believe, as we as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return. So these antichrist spirits generally won't cooperate with you. They're not going to answer your questions. They're going to be vague. They're going to try to hide. They're going to be arrogant. They're going to be controlling, and etc. I've yet to ever have one of them bow their knee to Yeshua. So, now this next one, I don't understand theologically. I can't prove it. I don't know. But I've experienced it so many times with various people that I can't deny it. The story goes something like this. A human dies and was sent to Sheol. In Sheol, they were chosen and given a reprieve from the torment on the condition that they go into a living human and set that person up for falling into sin. The dead disembodied spirit is given an antichrist agenda and a demonic guard. So they're sent from Sheol with a mission. They're told, if you'll go to this person and do this to them, then I'll let you out of Sheol for a time. And the torment is terrible there, and they feel trapped anyway. So often they'll accept it. And then when they come into the living person and begin their mission of destroying, kill, steal, or destroy, that's their agenda they're given, then sometimes they regret it. I've had them tell me that. I wish I hadn't ever made the deal with Satan, but I did. This is where I learned this, is from them. Oh, numerous times I've been told this by the disembodied spirit. So again, you can't promise them salvation. You know, I will often, if they tell me I was in Sheol and I made a deal with the devil and that's why I'm in here, and if they will allow it, you know, either myself or the living person will tell them the gospel, and I often start with telling them, you know what, I can't promise you, I'll say that up front, I can't promise that you can get saved because you've already died. I don't know. But I know this, that Yeshua, when he came out of the grave, he descended down into Sheol where you were, and he preached the gospel to those who were there, and some of them came up with him. I don't know if that's possible for you, but if I was in your situation, man, what have you got to lose? Mm-hmm. What, you know, and then share about the blood of Yeshua, especially if they don't know the gospel message. And I've seen, this scenario, and I've seen them bow their knee, and Yeshua come, and they are connected. They humble themselves, and I've seen the Lord take them where, I don't know where he took them, but he took them, and they were, you know, there was peace. It wasn't I've also seen the ones, that said no. I was ministering to a pastor who called me a few number of years ago, and he said, man, I've just got to have help. I've got this issue. I've struggled with it my whole adult life. It's getting worse, and it's really scaring me because I feel like I'm about to get out of control with it, and I don't want it. I tried everything. Can you help me? So then I went. Met with him. He didn't know any of this stuff. He was in another state, didn't know any of this. Long story short, he had already been trained in God encounter sessions, so he already knew in his church. And so he encounters the Lord, and all of a sudden he sees this woman, and she's in him, and she has a particular agenda, and it's the very issue that he struggled with. And he says, what in the world? What is this? It's like there's a woman inside of me. And I said, okay, his wife was there. I said, let's take a break. Let me talk to you for a minute. So I explained about disembodied spirits and that a real short version, and he trusted me already. So he said, okay, let's just go with it. So we go back in. He sees the woman, asks questions. She identifies herself as being in Sheol, tormented. The devil made a deal with her if she would come and destroy you by this particular sin. And she said, I agreed to do that, and that's what's happening. And he's like, get her out of me now. I said, whoa. And then I had to pause. Let's talk about the gospel, you know. And he's like, okay, I can't argue with that. He did go to Sheol. He did preach the gospel. Okay. So he preached a beautiful sermon to this woman. And she heard. And at the end of it, she said, no, thank you. I don't want it. I'd rather be a servant of Satan than a servant of God any day. I know. He starts weeping. I'm crying. His wife's crying. And we're just like, whoa. He tried again. She's like, you're wasting your time. So she wouldn't leave. She said, I have to fulfill my mission or I'll be punished. And she wouldn't leave. And so we informed her that you are leaving. Yeshua has given us authority over you. And so I asked for angels to come and forcibly remove her. We saw two big angels. He and I both saw the same picture, exactly the same, without him saying anything, without me saying anything, until it was over. And he described it, and I said, that's exactly what I saw. These angels came in, and when their feet hit, she was in like a, inside of him. She had, I don't know if she built it, I don't know, but she was in a prison inside of him doing her thing, probably to keep herself hidden was what I thought, because it was stone walls and ceiling and floor. Well, these angels came in that room where she was, one on one side, one on the other, and when their feet hit that floor, the ground stone floor under her cracked, and we watched it just crack and run across the whole floor, and then the center where she was just collapsed, and she was dropped down screaming into Sheol. We both saw it. So I would say when you have a spirit like that, that's an antichrist spirit. They hate him. They'd rather suffer than serve him. And you're going to see it. Now, I want to encourage you as a facilitator, if that happens, the person.
Good catch.
That was great. Wow. Woo! The person that has that experience can be emotionally impacted. And it was hard. It's hard to see another human, if indeed this is a human, fall into where you know they're going. So you might have to minister to that person. Usually you do. And sometimes your own self, you know, ask the Lord to come and comfort. And it's hard to swallow. It's hard to wrap your brain around that. But I've seen it. Thankfully, I see the other more, where they bow their knee. But just remember that is real. And that explained to me why when Yeshua went down there, not everybody came out of hell. Some people are so filled with hatred for him, so possessed by evil, that they'd rather be punished and tormented than serve him. And we can't understand that because we don't have that kind of evil in us, thankfully. All right, fear. 27, bottom page. Fear can be the result of a disembodied spirit that has a spirit of fear. We talked about that already. And we know the truth, 2 Timothy 1:7. Yahweh does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we've already talked about this, so I'm not going to go into detail on that one. I want to talk about what I call clusters. That's when you find a disembodied spirit. Don't just assume that it's just one, because often they are in groups. And you know, it kind of mirrors demons. It's very rare to find one demon. Yeshua and Yahweh talks about the power of the two. You know, Yeshua modeled it. He sent them out two by two, his disciples. Satan copies. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. It's a principle in the spirit, and Satan copies it. So if he's assigning an unclean spirit to somebody, then there's a chance that there's more than one there. Now, in the case of the pastor I just talked about, we ask, are there any more? There wasn't. And the only, obviously, Satan felt like that woman would be enough to take him out, but he didn't realize the power of the love that this pastor had for the Lord and the hatred that he had for that sin that was just tormenting him, right? So just know that. Always ask. It's better to ask than to just miss, you know, not look, not ask for that light to shine and see, is there anybody else? You can't always believe the disembodied spirit. Sometimes they lie. Man, if they're an antichrist, they will lie. So don't just ask, are there any more with you? Now, if they're a very humble spirit, you know, like my baby sister, she was innocent and pure. I didn't know then to ask. Now, I went back later and asked after I learned. So it's just better to check than to just presume that there's just one. That's my point of that. So sometimes a disembodied spirit is one who will speak to the whole group, for the whole group. They all of them can hear me, or you, if they're in you, they can hear you. If you discover that there's a group, you can ask them as a group, would you like to hear the gospel? You can share the gospel and then have them respond and then ask the Lord to come, and then they encounter the Lord. And let's say there's seven there, five bow their knee or respond to the Lord in some way, but two cower in a corner or something. Then let the five go ahead, encounter the Lord, and then after they go with the Lord, then you can ask the other two questions like, why, what's going on, how do you feel, you know, until you find the cause for their refusal of going with the Lord. And ask the Lord to come and show and reveal, and the Holy Spirit. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about the markers that might indicate that there's a disembodied spirit in you or in the person you're facilitating. One, if you have obsessions, they're not normal, but excessive interest or focus in certain things. I read this story in Reader's Digest a bunch of years ago. It was about reincarnation. And it was a mom and dad who were believers in Christ, and they had a child. I can't remember this little boy's age now. Young, 5, 7, 8, I don't know. And they were telling the story that they never believed in reincarnation, but after their son was born And when he was really young, he just started like being obsessed with army men, like off the chart obsessed. Then the older he got, the more it increased, and then he began at some age, really young, of telling them, I don't remember his name, Bobby's not my name, my name is, and he told them this first, middle, and last name. And I was in the war of, and he's like 5 years old, and they never, ever taught him this. And he's telling more and more and more details, and he'd draw pictures, and he'd act out wars, and this is where I was killed, this is where I died, and da-da-da-da-da. And so this couple said, we still believe in Jesus, but we also believe in reincarnation, because that man is in our, this is who our son is. He's really been reincarnated. Yeah. So I went, oh. At the time, I had no idea, but I never forgot the story. So then when I'm learning all of this, I went, oh, the Lord just turned the light bulb on. Reincarnation, it's a disembodied human spirit inside of somebody that is living their life through that person, and that person allows them to take over to the point that they believe that they really are this person. Well, that little boy, the parents researched that name, and the details their son gave them matched 100% what this particular man, he lived. I don't remember the details of all that, where he lived, the war he was in. He died on the battlefield, exactly like their little boy told them. That's why they became a believer in reincarnation. And in reality now, I thought, oh my, so if you've got somebody that says they're reincarnated, you might want to see if they'll let you ask the Lord to shine his light in them and see if that person is actually in them. That just makes so much sense to me. Wow. So there you go. Number two, a marker would be a security toy. Let's say the toy is not equal to the age, the culture, or experience. It could be a disembodied spirit, like if it's a little doll and you're 40 years old and you just love this little doll. It might be a child that got stuck somehow for some reason in you. Like my baby sister, she didn't believe anybody wanted her, and that included, she didn't even know. She said, I don't even know Jesus. So it might be something like that. Possible. Not always. Sexual obsessions, especially before the age of 10, can be caused by a number of things. It could be molestation, could be demons, could be a human spirit that brought that with them. Number four, addictions. Five, is there something that doesn't make sense? A drive, a need, or a craving that can't be explained in your life. And another one you could add is on there is reincarnation. That certainly is a marker. Blockages that might indicate a disembodied spirit's present. Number one, curses and demons. Number two, when you have a genuine Yahweh-ordained passion, for example, you have a passion to be a worship leader. You're gifted, you're talented. There's no reason why you're not. You've been invited. But you're repeatedly blocked from expressing that calling, right? That could be a disembodied spirit blocking you. If you've received numerous prophetic words and they're genuine, they're repeated, you know, you've got them confirmed, but they don't manifest, it could be a disembodied spirit blocking. Or, this is weird, if you have a strong disembodied spirit that has taken over a good bit of who you are, right? And you have somebody that has a prophetic gifting, and they look at you and they can't see you because this disembodied spirit's taken over. They see the disembodied spirit and can give you a prophetic word based on what that human calling was when they were alive. Wow. It's happened. So number four, no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to grow the fruit of the Spirit. You want to, you do all the spiritual disciplines, you have accountability, you do a lot of, put a lot of effort into it, but man, at the end of the year, there's just little or no progress. That's possibly a disembodied spirit. Number five, you can't love yourself. You want to, you try, but you can't. Number six, self-harm. Cutting and burning, anorexia, bulimia, they can all be a result of a hostile human spirit, disembodied spirit, that actually hates a person like the person I told you about. It can be a marker for a disembodied spirit. Another thing, if you've got a disembodied spirit operating and counseling and therapy aren't working, it might be because that's what's going on. And you can't make progress. Remember, Satan has figured out that if he can get Christians, people, anybody filled with unclean, disembodied spirits, the church will be clueless. And that includes counselors and therapists and et cetera. And they'll think it's a demon, and they'll do that, and the disembodied spirit just goes into hiding. And they, if they're antichrist disembodied spirits, I'm telling you, the chaos that they create inside a person is will drive them to want to kill, steal, destroy themselves. Yeah. Deborah. Wait for the mic, please.
I can pretty loud.
Yeah, but the recording can't get it.
Have you developed, or has the Lord given you a protocol to rule out DID? Because there's so many things that seem parallel, right? That a part could look like a disembodied spirit,
I've
vice
seen
versa.
It.
So do you have a rule out?
I've seen that so many times. Matter of fact, now, because I've seen it so much, I tend to ask the Lord to come in and shine his light. That's my code, right? And see if there's any unclean anything going on, and then ask him to identify it for us. And do you know what? I'll say probably 9 times out of 10, I've discovered it's disembodied human spirits. And they'll set up a whole... They'll set up a whole reality inside of somebody, a whole network, a whole community, a whole everything of how to deal with life. And sometimes the Lord tells them, and sometimes he doesn't. He just lets it go on. Because I know, especially if somebody's really fragile, it's too much to swallow. So he just... deals if they'll let him. And I've had people say, nope, I like my parts. I want to keep them. They help me function. And they do to a point, but boy, they just don't realize what life could be like without them.
Well, a DID is an acceptable title, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or disembodied spirits is also acceptable.
It really is. And it's seen as a medical
thing.
When it's a spiritual thing. Yeah.
So, and they, I had somebody that, boy, they just lied to this person, and the person believed it, and it just created this whole reality that was actually demonic. So, yeah. Now, does the brain dissociate? Yep. It does. It hits a trauma that's too big for it, and Yahweh made it to do that, to save us from going crazy. But I have a theory that when that happens, it's an open door, and Satan can drop in demons and disembodied spirits into that place. And they masquerade as part of you, and they're really not part of you. Except that you've accepted them as, and then accepted the label that's been put on them. So,
I had that happen with a lady who came here from Florida, and she'd been in counseling for years. I don't even remember how many. It was unreal. And she'd been told there's no hope, and she had a whole map, big, big piece of paper of her, I forgot what it's called, her system. Yeah, and names, and when they were born, and when they, yeah, I mean, and she was accepting of it and actually proud of it. And she was told that she was extremely intelligent because she was able to create this. And so she had a lot of, it felt, yeah, and they had all worked out and gotten peace with each other. And so, but yet she couldn't get on a plane by herself. She couldn't get in a car and go anywhere by herself. She couldn't leave her house by herself. She always had to have somebody with her, but yet she was at peace. And I went, can you see those two don't add up? You know, so even to get here, she had to have her mother-in-law fly with her to get her here and stay with her for I forgot how many days until she was safe enough to go. So, the end of the story for her was those were all disembodied spirits, every single one of them. And she got free. The Lord did it as a group. And gave her the desire to be free, and she recognized that this really wasn't the way to live. And now that was, oh boy, I don't know, years ago, 8-9 years ago. She's a very fruitful counselor now in Florida, and free as you can be. So she's been back here several times through the years. So there's an example. It was an illusion. It was, she accepted what was told to her because she didn't know any better and nobody else knew any better. Yeah. Yes.
Let's say you have a spirit, you're freed from it. How do you prevent it from entering again or some other thing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, Betty. Great. Good. I'm going to really go in high, fast gear now. So that we can finish these. Is there a second chance after death? And we've already talked about that. Again, I want to just state about this. You can't promise anybody anything because you're not God. So you just can say that. I can't promise you. But if I were you, I'd fall on the mercy of Yahweh. The fruit of freedom. So once disembodied spirits are removed from you, you will have some kind of inner reconciliation. There'll be some peace that comes. Number one, you'll reconcile with yourself. It may be that for the first time in your life, you love yourself. Before that, you may have hated yourself, or there may have been this battle within yourself before that all of a sudden is gone. And you're able, and it may take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days, and it'll increase as you go from that, especially if that disembodied spirit hated you, right? Now, if that disembodied spirit was neutral, you're not going to experience that, right? Reconciliation with your gender. If you are a female and you have a male, a disembodied spirit that belonged to a male come inside of you, you're going to experience this confusion, this unsettledness, and question yourself, etc. And it can be, depending on how strong that is as to how and how much you give yourself to it, there won't be shalom, there won't be peace. And that's that can be an indicator if there's no shalom, that there could possibly be a disembodied spirit that belonged to a male inside of you and you're a female. Reconciliation with outside relationships. If there's a disembodied spirit in you, it can often bring
this dynamic of difficulty within relationships. Remember, they don't belong there. They are misplaced. You were created by Yahweh to have one spirit and one spirit only. And when you add a second one to that mix, you've got chaos. You've got conflict of some sort. So that you will see in depending on the kind of spirit that might be there. You will also experience freedom from sin often, because that disembodied spirit brings with it its propensity to particular kind of sin. And when it's gone, that tends to leave. That will leave. And then you will be free to only have to deal with your particular area of propensity to sin instead of yours plus that disembodied spirit. Troubleshooting. I'm going to leave that for you to read, because a lot of it I've already talked about. And then you'll see device, demon, or disembodied spirit. Again, that's just an example of how you can walk this process out and work through it. Now, I want to bring up this question that Betty just asked about. So how do you protect yourself from it and from having these hitchhikers, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have 100% the answer to this, but I know some things that I've learned. And sin, willful sin, can open you to a disembodied spirit that has that same sin. And when you give yourself willfully to this thing, it can open you up for that disembodied spirit to come into you. That's one. Like the example of the book, Return from Tomorrow, where he saw in the alcoholic guy drinking, and there was a disembodied spirit that was an alcoholic that came into him because he gave himself to that sin. And another thing that I've seen is if you're in surgery and you're put to sleep, or you faint and pass out, I believe that can be an opening for them to come into you. So if you're going to have surgery, make sure you pray ahead of time and state to that realm, Yahweh made me, I only have one spirit, and there are no openings for any other spirit to come into me while I'm asleep. I take authority over that operating room because I'm renting that operating room while I'm having surgery. Therefore, I have authority over it, and nothing can come into me while I'm asleep. That's good. And if you find out that you've fainted or passed out, you can, after the fact, you can, Yahweh, shine your light. Did anything come into me while I was passed out? Check. Don't just assume. Right, because these things are I believe, and it creeped me out to start with. I got the wibby jibbies when I'd go places because I think, how many dead human spirits are walking around me right now? I mean, really. I know that when I go into a hospital, because people die there frequently, that before I go in, I got my guard up. I've done the blood of Yeshua over all my doorways, and I announce before that I am not open to any other human spirit to come into me or even follow me home. You're not coming in here, because it's just the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and my spirit. That's it. That's enough. So you do your house from that. I believe those are the main reasons they can get in. So the way you protect yourself is what I just said. You take authority over your house. This is your mobile home. And do not allow any hitchhikers or anyone to come in uninvited. And if you find that they have, you deal with it. And I think it's a a night, it's a good idea to regularly ask the Lord to shine his light in you and see if there's any unclean thing in you. And it might not be a disembodied spirit. It might be. It might be a device that got planted. It might be a demon that's hitchhiking on your back or something. So I believe those are the main ways I've seen sin, surgery, being put to sleep, fainting, passing out. And if you're in, you're not, no one in this room is, but if you're facilitating somebody that has a past history with Satanism, they might have opened themselves up to this intentionally, because they do, that's one of the practices. Or if, as a child or young person or whatever, you are subjected to satanic ritual abuse, there's a really strong chance that they planted in you these disembodied spirits to keep you keep you chained to Satan and his agenda, and to destroy you should you ever try to get out. So, yeah, yes, microphone, Laura Lee.
You just had a whole list, but I was curious if you had any experience with a person who struggled with seizures. And this person that I know, a dear friend, she's gone through a lot of trauma. She's ex-Amish and a lot of trauma as a child and through her life. And she has gone through deliverance, but the seizures are still, yeah.
Absolutely. We had a pastor's daughter come here for that very reason. She was having seizures, and they took her to the ER, and they ran all the tests, and they came back and said, there's nothing wrong with you. But yet these seizures were happening and happening and happening. So deliverance didn't do it. So ended up coming here, and the first time I met with her, I met her actually and facilitated it, got encounter with her. The Lord right away showed me that what was going on. And she's free. She never had. Well, she had a couple of instances later, of more, and it was the same thing. So you just that's what Yeshua did with the boy that was having the epileptic seizures and would be thrown into the fire and the water. But not always, though. I want to say that. Don't get yourself a doctrine that says, oh, if somebody has a seizure, it's a disembodied spirit. It might be a short circuit in their physical brain firing off. So, but if you have somebody that has the medical test and the doctors say your brain's perfect, we don't understand. She went, I don't remember, 3 times to the ER, I think, and having all those tests run, and they couldn't find anything. But the Lord did, and he knew, and he dealt with it, and she's free. Yeah. Beautiful young lady. Beautiful.
You know, my children, I have 2 of them, when they were younger, very small, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, they came to me and said they can't sleep because they're having these dreams, this terrible dream. My daughter too, and both of them, I said, and I would pray with them, and it wouldn't go away, and I said, I would tell them, I don't know. I just turned it off. I don't have any. Turn it off. Just turn away from it. So that's what they did, I think. But I don't know if I did anything, because I told myself that, because I don't know what to do. You know, bad dream.
Absolutely. I understand that. When you take authority over something and it doesn't change, it's a really good idea to say, Lord, would you shine your light and show me if there's any unclean thing here operating. Now, you didn't know that back then, but that would be how, right? So that would be how you would respond to that. When from my experience, when whatever's going on inside of somebody doesn't respond to Yahweh, Yeshua, and his authority,
at his name, every knee will bow, and I will challenge it. I'll say, the word says that when I say his name, you're going to bow your knee. And if I do that, and that entity doesn't bow its knee, then I have an entity there that is, has free will. Demons have to bow their knee. A human doesn't. That's a great indicator. If you're not sure, or if you want to test the spirits, because we're commanded to test the spirits, plural, and if it doesn't bow, and when you say in the name of Yeshua, bow your knee, and that thing doesn't bow, you 99.9% probably have a disembodied human spirit, or maybe a Nephilim spirit. Again, I wonder if they're both. I really do. I wonder if, I just wonder. I don't know. But either way, you're dealing with the same thing, right? One is pure human, one is half human, and half Nephilim, half from the Elohim. So, great question, Betty. Yes.
Talked about the Antichrist spirit. Can, and you did talk a little bit about this, because of course a human might have Antichrist spirit that's keeping them and they're hostile. Do you pray in that situation? How do you set that thing aside so that human can make a choice, right? If there's a demon operating.
A demon is easy. You can have a demon, can be, a demon is an antichrist spirit, all of them. They, because the antichrist spirit simply means that they are against Christ. That's what that word carries the idea, against Christ or in the place of Christ. So if you have a demon, you can just command it in the name of Yeshua, bow your knee, get out of the way. But if you have a, yeah, but if you have a disembodied human that has an antichrist spirit itself, then that disembodied spirit has a will, and you can't force that person to bow their knee. It, he or she won't.
Without that demonic presence.
You can command the demon to step aside if there's a demon there, right? But let me say this. If that disembodied spirit says, no, I want my demon to stay here with me, that's it. Your hands are tied.
Well, that's what I can't understand, because the demon would want them to make that decision, but why would anybody want to
be heard? Because they hate God. I know, I can't either, but it's true, and it's all through Scripture. And
yeah.
Boy, you read Revelation, when we get to the end, people hate him. I mean, he offers to save them. He sends an angel to preach the gospel, and the people on the earth hate him so much that they won't accept the gospel. They, it says they won't repent. It says they refused, is the word, to repent. Yeah, Deborah.
So just to get that straight, when she said, so I understand it correctly. So the disembodied spirit has a demon. The disembodied spirit, the demon will not step aside. You still preach the gospel to the disembodied spirit because they can still hear you, even though the demon is in front. And it, I'm asking if this is correct. And then if nothing happens, or it's no, or nothing happens, that's when then you would ask the Father to bring in the holy angels to evict them.
Absolutely. Now, okay. I'll say this. I've yet to have, I can't think of one instance where a disembodied spirit had an antichrist spirit, demonic presence guarding them, that they allowed me to preach the gospel.
Oh.
Doesn't happen.
Okay.
They won't let it happen. They'll scream, they'll yell, they'll cuss you out, they'll start hurting the person.
person. You'll have them thrown down on the floor. So, and the minute that happens, that's it. I take authority, ask the Father to send angels to evict, forcibly evict them. Yep.
So just in some of the experiences I've had in facilitating people, the Antichrist spirit already knows the gospel. It's chosen already.
Can you mute, do you have permission to mute them, the demonic, mute and silence them during that time to give them the choice?
You can, a demon.
Right.
We've been given authority over demons, but if you've got a disembodied spirit that's talking, you can't force them to shut up.
Okay.
They're a person. I can't force Tammy to stop talking. If she's determined to cuss me out or whatever, then I can say it all day long, and she can still cuss me out.
Right.
Right. But demons are different. They're absolutely, we have authority over them. And I can tell them to be quiet in the name of Yeshua. Yeah. And they might try again. Boy, I'll throw some blood of Yeshua on them, and they can't handle that. So if you're finding a resistant demon that thinks he's stronger than you, in the name of Yeshua, I stand as a priest, and I apply the blood of Yeshua to you right now. Bow your knee. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And they can't help it. They don't have a choice. Yeah, Colleen.
I don't know. Do you, if they're getting angry with you, do you still have the authority to do something with them?
Absolutely. If they're getting angry, try to find out why they're angry. If it's a disembodied spirit. If it's a demon, I don't mess with that. I don't mess with demons. I don't give them the time of day. But I know my authority, right? If you don't know your authority, you might have, if you find a demon coming back at you, that's probably because you don't know your authority. Because they don't have a choice if you know the authority that's in the name of Yeshua, that at every knee will bow when that name is spoken. So, and that's one reason I use the name Yeshua, because that's his legal name. It's his birth name. Jesus is a translation. It's a made up. It's not even a translation. And demons, I've had them mock me over the name Jesus. So, and I've met demons before that have the name, they say they're Jesus. Not one time have I ever had a demon say their name was Yeshua. That name is set apart and holy. And I think, I don't know that Yahweh would take kindly to that. But I've never had a demon call themselves Yeshua. So when I test the spirits, I don't say, are you Jesus? I say, are you Yeshua, the Son of God, who was born, died, rose again for my sins? So.
And how do you know you're not talking to just the person versus the
demon?
The demon.
Well, as a facilitator, you distinguish. And the person, I would, as a facilitator, I would help Tammy distinguish between, is this a demon or a disembodied spirit? And you treat them differently.
Okay, I guess I didn't put that very well. How do you determine if it's that person or the disembodied person?
You mean like, is it Tammy or is it the disembodied spirit?
Right, right.
Oh, I see. Because she's going to be talking to me. She's going to tell me, oh, I hear this voice and it's telling me X, Y, Z. And I'll say, is that you? Well, no, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't believe that. That kind of thing. Yeah. Excellent question, Colleen.
Do we have the same authority over Nephilim as any other demon?
Of course you'd ask that question.
It's always too late. Just do it with
Oh, she can ask anything because she's got that beautiful smile. You know, if my experience is accurate, and if my theory that there's disembodied human spirits and disembodied Nephilim spirits, right? If that's accurate, in this case, I don't have much authority, it doesn't seem, because they are very aggressive, very anti-Christ and anti-Christian and anti-us. So they'll manifest real quick with pure evil rage.
You're talking about Nephilim
spirits. Mm-hmm. So, and I just simply ask the Father to release enforcing angels to remove them that fast. I don't mess around. I've learned. And over here, if it's a disembodied human spirit, I will interact with them because they're going to be open most of the time. Not always. Boy, I've had some that were not Nephilim, but angry at God because my wife died or he didn't heal me and I died of. Or, you know, I've had, but it's not that evil, malicious. It's different, you know. And you can feel the difference in the spirit. It's like, I've got to get away from that. And this, I want to come and help and, you know, process. Part of it, you'll learn. You'll experience, like I have. I've learned this from asking. I am the biggest question asker probably that I know. And I've done it. That's how I've learned. I've done it since I was a kid in school. I was always the one. You know, I just think that way. I think big picture. I think, so that's one of the reasons I've learned. So I encourage you all, when you're in these encounters, and ask the Lord, ask the questions, ask the disembodied spirit. I trust them more than I do demons. I don't trust demons what they tell me. They lie some more. But if I've got a cooperative human spirit, I'm going to trust them somewhat, certainly more than. But if I've got somebody that claims to be a human spirit and they're wicked, evil, cussing me out right up front or spewing blasphemy, etc., I just ask the Lord to come and deal with that. So whether I have authority or not, my authority right here is right here, and that's the greatest authority there is, so the best way to deal with. Great questions. Everybody okay?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your help today. Thank you for ministering to us. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that this afternoon, as these precious men and women encounter you, that you will truly shine your light in them and expose any unclean thing that might be present according to your timing and your will and your purpose for them. And I ask that you would grant everybody the courage to ask the questions and to look and see. And I pray for the facilitators to have supernatural help and wisdom and insight as to how to partner with you, Lord. And we thank you that you didn't leave us here unequipped or hopeless or helpless or as an orphan, but you've given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, it's 12:30, so we'll just, wherever your GE is, try to leave lunch in time to be there at 12:30, you know, I mean 1:30, yeah, you know, so that you can get started at 1:30 so that you can accomplish what the Lord wants. Amen. All righty. Thank you. From here on out, hopefully it'll be smooth sailing, a little bit easier. We're over the hump. Good. Good. It looks like everybody survived.